Welcome to Together We Design Philadelphia, a podcast dedicated to the transformational power of design. I'm Rebecca Johnson, your host, the Executive Director of Design Philadelphia and AIA Philadelphia. We're at a pivotal moment in Philadelphia's history. The Center for Architecture and Design has evolved into Design Philadelphia with a focus on impactful change. This transformation mirrors the evolution of our work and the changing needs of our community. It's time for every neighborhood in Philly to thrive in safety, beauty, and health. It's time for our industry to reflect the diversity of our vibrant city. It's time for women to own more design businesses, and it's definitely time for children to rediscover creativity in the classroom. Our goal is simple: make design accessible for all, regardless of background or career stage. We are lowering the barriers to entry and raising the bar of impact and excellence, all while nurturing Philadelphia's next generation of designers. Join us on this journey. Together, we design Philadelphia, shaping a better future through design. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. I'm really excited for our podcast conversation today. We have Hans Diefendörfer from HD Custom Carpentry. Hans describes himself as a guy who can do everything. So this should be a very interesting conversation. Designers work with people who make things all the time. And so Hans has a very impressive list of projects and talents. And I thought it was really important to include in a conversation about design in Philadelphia, the people that actually make the things that we all design. So Hans, how are you? Can you give us a little bit about yourself? Like, where'd you grow up?
I'm originally from Newtown, Bucks County. Went to Council Rock High School, very big high school at the time. Shortly after, went to a trade school, Middle Bucks Institute of Technology, and took an adult education course in carpentry. And I was 18 at the time. So it was after high school. My father said, "I'm not raising a bum. You're either learning your trade and going to the military." And I thought better of the military, so decided to be a carpenter.
Were you excited about that decision?
Let's just say it was the right decision. I've always liked to build things, even from a very early age. You know, was always doing the Legos, the blocks. So in high school, I was a kid who everybody wanted me to be in the group so I could build the stuff for them. It just always came easy to me, like being able to think in three dimensions. My father always had tools and always gave me free access to these tools since I was like, you know, within reasons, no power tools, that sort of thing, you know, so like 7, 8 years old, and a wood scrap pile. I've always been a creative person. I'm always trying to think outside the box, and being a left-hander, you have to be creative because you're coping in a right-hander's world.
What do you think you have taught the designers that you've worked with?
Two primary designers that I work for and have worked for a long time now, they'll ask the questions, well, what kind of hardware is needed? Is this going to work with this hardware? Are we able to be able to find the right materials to do this? Paint, stain, you name it. As far as colors go, I mean, designers like to pick colors. I'm not all the best with colors. You want me to paint it purple with pink polka dots? That's what the end product will be. So, you know, I like working with designers. It sort of takes some of the pressure off me to do everything. Designers will come to me with paint colors. They'll come to me with stain colors. Can you do this? Can you put this kind of finish on that? What do you think? Will this particular cabinet fit in this particular space? Yeah. You know, and I'll tell them no, because of hardware restraints, we really can't do it that way. But then we find a compromise, and 99.9% of the time, it comes out looking great and people happy. And people who are happy are people who are absolutely willing to recommend you, your work, your designer. That's the way it's always worked for me, word of mouth.
You really are the detail guy and, you know, someone who's going to build the beautiful details that designers want and love.
I love the shop work. I love being in my shop. And I belong to a very, it's just an incredible place that I got into in 2011. It's called the Stenton Guild. It's in Germantown. And it is just basically a building that has studios and a floor of commercial grade woodworking tools, a paint booth, a spray booth, And the fact that there are six or seven other guys on my particular floor who do a lot of the same things that I do, but we all do something different and we all can give input to each other. I mean, when you're tapping on the better part of, I don't know, I tried to figure it out today, better part of 150, 175 years of combined experience, you're going to figure things out if you run into a problem or a little hiccup or you need to do something. I've given in my advice to people have taken and their jobs have come out looking fantastic and vice versa. I mean, it's just an invaluable resource belonging to this guild.
That's so great. I think that's I think that's a common thing in general. It's just community, right? It's like
absolutely
these are your people. They know what you do. They know what's hard about it. How to problem solve that kind of thing.
Absolutely. I mean, just an amusing little anecdote that I was thinking of this morning. A buddy of mine in the guild, he has a CNC machine, which is another resource. Which is, you know, if I need something CNC woodworking wise. It's a resource I can go to. And he was making these signs and he showed me the mock-up he had on the sign. And I said, isn't Andorra spelled with two R's? And he goes, oh my God, I'm glad I did not run the final program without double check. I didn't even think about proofreading it. Thank you. And it's just a great group of guys who, I don't know, I don't consider myself an artist. Other people have told me that, but it is a group of individuals who create something and a lot of one-of-a-kind type stuff, which I guess is, a definition of an artist, I would think.
When art is in, you know?
Art is in, absolutely. Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
I mean, I have a guy that I know is a really good friend who makes kinetic sculptures, which are amazing. It's, you know, you need a little screw, he's got it. It's just a great, great thing to belong to. And I can't believe I've been there for 13 years now. Yeah. So
incredible.
So yeah, it is. I mean, how time flies.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Do you have a project or an idea or something that you've learned from a designer or something that they did that was like, that was cool. Like that turned out really nice. Do you have anything that comes to mind?
Basically, I was working with a designer and she came up with this idea. And I don't know whether it was her idea, but it was the first time I had ever seen something like it. It was just basically a box that fit around a flat screen TV that was mounted on the wall. And basically, it had two sliding panels that went out to either side. I'm sorry, I'm using my hands. Went out to either side. And basically, when you closed it, it had two matching pieces of art on it. And then when you wanted to watch TV, it opened up and there was your TV. And it was just a nice way to hide the fact that there was a TV on this big blank wall. Because I hate it when people put TVs over fireplaces. Yeah. I mean, but that's to each their own. The same designer designed a cabinet over a fireplace to hide the TV. And that had nice bifold doors. And it was a huge TV. Basically, the recessed panels of the doors, they were recessed doors that, you know, like shaker style doors. She put a very cool, it wasn't wallpaper, but it was like a grass mat type thing to give it a little bit of texture. It just turned out really, really good. I do so many things that by the time you're thinking, it's like, wow, that's cool. You know, you're on to the next thing, doing the next cool thing.
So back to a little bit to the Stenton Guild. One of the things we hear a lot is that designers, creative people remember things like shop class or art class or something that made them interested, right? We also know that art class and shop classes are being cut from lots of education. And so, and I also know that you're probably going to be really busy after this episode comes out, because one of the gripes I hear all the time from designers is like, it's just so hard to find artisans, you know, it's hard to find somebody at the guild or, you know, in your network or community of carpenters there. Are you seeing any young people want apprenticeships or want to engage with you at all? Because it feels like that'd be such a, like a masterclass for somebody, you know?
Yeah, right. Hang out. Right. You know, the people who want to learn from me are the retired hobbyists. who want to do that. Unfortunately, there is, from what I understand, I don't know what the latest statistic is. There's anywhere from 450 to 600,000 unfilled trade jobs out there. I see that Philadelphia, I think, has either one or two vocational schools, whether it's a plumber, electrician, woodworker, carpenter, whatever. I mean, the jobs are out there for these people and good paying jobs. I mean, not just union jobs. There's a lot of non-union guys, you know, as a carpenter's helper just out of trade school, you're making $30, $35 an hour because they know that you have the commitment to go through that kind of education, at least get the background. And then now you're ready to take the next step and go out into the field, which, you know, unfortunately, a lot of kids would rather just, I don't want to stereotype, but sit on their computers or play video games all day. And that's a shame. I mean, because there's a lot of creative minds that are going to waste because they might not even get the exposure to, you know, trades.
One of the questions we ask, like, does good design and materials and labor, you know, have to be expensive? And what does that really mean?
Well, the labor is the labor. We all have to make a living. The way I tell people is, you know, you can do it with cheaper materials. You can. The labor is the same thing.
Right.
It's all in how you want it to be finished. I mean, a couple of years ago, everybody was getting these fresh milk pallets and making platform beds out of pallets. To me, it still looked like pallets, but you could get them for 10, 12 bucks a pallet and do that. It's all how you want it. I mean, the other designer that I work for, she wants everything looks patinized, a patina on everything. Can't you just make it look like, you know, it's been around the block? You know, it's like, it goes against my better nature to mill something flat, square, and everything else than to have to go out and beat it with a chain or a stick with a nail in it to make it look like has wormholes in it and stuff like that. But, you know, hey, it's the desired look that she wants. I have no problem with, you know, giving people what they want. And I tell her that's more expensive because it's more labor intensive for me to take something and make it look, you know, but you can make stuff look like $1 million using cheaper materials, but I find it a lot harder. It's always better. It's like cooking. Start with the freshest ingredients you can get. You're going to come out with a better product. It's just the way it is.
Right.
And a lot of it comes from up here. You know, I mean, I know kids who do fantastic design work. I mean, but they're in their 30s and they probably half of them, graduated art, you know, like art school, like Tyler School of Art. And, you know, they've gone that into cabinetry and furniture making and stuff like that. And they produce beautiful stuff, stuff that I'm jealous of. It's like, wow, I wish I would have had access. Yep. And the fact that everything now involves computers. So, I mean, if you can get computer-aided design or computer-aided drafting, those kind of courses are only going to have, even learning what they call a SketchUp program, where you can basically check proportions and everything else, push a button and it'll print you out shop drawings and that sort of stuff. That's beneficial. Even like the CNC machine that this guy had at the shop 10, 15 years ago, it would have been twice as hard for him to learn all that programming and everything else. It's just gotten so much easier with computers. And one of these days, you might have to teach his old dog a new trick, you know, with computers and stuff like that. I still like using the hand planes and cutting stuff. You know, you still have to do that. But as far as design, I think it's a lot easier.
To your point, like you can look at something and think three-dimensionally and think about how is it. I see a 2D picture. I'm thinking already about how this, and not everybody can. And so I do think that like renderings and SketchUp and all of those tools are very helpful for clients.
Yes, absolutely. Helps sell the project when you can see, you know, stuff in, not necessarily, you know, it's still lines on a page, but it's a little bit more three-dimensional. And there's even programs up there. You can plug the thing, you know, do some kind of mock-up and plug it into a picture of a room. I mean, you go to a Sherwin-Williams, there's an app for that. Put Sherwin-Williams OC24 on the wall, you know, and you'll see what your room looks like in that color, or at least the best representation of that color. Things have come a long way since I was in technical school versus, you know, or trade school versus nowadays. I, I mean, I tell my son, who's a budding jeweler, basically learn that as much as computer-aided design as you can, it will change your life. And he has taken that to heart, and he's doing really good for himself in that respect.
I hear this a lot when I get the opportunity to talk to like first-year architecture students or design students in all the local schools, like, why design? Why, you know? And most of them were like, because I love the idea of like something I create than seeing it made. And so I feel like with makers and builders and trades folks, it's the same thing in some ways. It's like, partly it's how you make a living, but it's also because it's very rewarding. I have to say, there's not many things that I do that I can just quickly point to.
Right. My father, before he died, gave me the biggest compliment I could ever get from him. He was a trial attorney for 40, 45 years. And he said, "Son, what you build today will be here probably long after you're gone. What I do might be in that dusty old law book somewhere, but nobody's ever going to see it once it's in there." And he said, "You make something tangible that people want." And I took that as a compliment.
Totally. And I think, I mean, it's one of the things with our K-12 programming, when we're just talking to young people about kind of cluing them into the built world, right? Like Taya Nguyen, who runs the Community Design Collaborative here, said, you know, I tell my students, you've never seen raw earth. You know, like, it's true. Everything, even parks have been designed. And so people not only design it, but then make it, build it. And so opening their eyes to like how you can use your creativity in lots of different ways, whether it's becoming an architect or becoming a graphic designer or becoming a furniture maker, design your own furniture and or wallpaper, design wallpaper on your computer that you love so much.
You know, you can lead a lot of kids to water, but you can't make them drink when it comes to that sort of stuff. But the trades have been very good to me. And if college is in your bag, or whatever, find something that, and that's one of the freedoms that my parents always afforded me. Do what you want, but do it the best of your abilities. And, you know, and that's what I tell my children, and I hope they're going to tell their children. Besides that, it's fun. I like doing it. So I like interacting with people.
Yeah. I think that having fun in your job or having a passion or being just motivated by what you're doing in work is so underestimated. I have cousins who are like, you know, you got to make money and I want to make money. And I'm like, great. But if you hate the thing that you're doing to make that money, you're not going to make as much money as you could, to be honest, because you're just not going to be motivated to work hard. Maybe when you're younger, you can. But as you get older, you realize like time really matters and the amount of time you work.
Oh, believe me, time does matter. I mean, you have a young child. Happy birthday to him, by the way. Believe me, relish those minutes while you have them, because, you know, sooner or later, they're going to end up being 16 or 19 and, you know, going their own way, which is a good thing. But having a good, stable platform for them to express their creativity is immensely important. And giving them, I mean, I know a lot of people who I grew up with, friends who basically parents said, you are going to college and that's it. And they come out and they're doing what I'm doing, you know, because they enjoy it, you know?
Especially now, because there's just a pushback. I think this generation is staring, you know, with all the popularization of student debt being such a burden for young people.
Oh, absolutely.
They're just being smarter, I think, about those decisions and mm-hmm. looking at other ways to make money. And I think something we think a little bit about here too, like, what does vocational design education actually look like in Philadelphia? Who's doing it? Who, you know, where are the places young people could get, and maybe adults too, can get connected to other ideas to like be creative and create a
Absolutely.
Career for themselves.
And even if you're a young adult or in your 30s or 40s, want to re-career, there are plenty. I know Bucks County Community College and Montgomery County Community College, I believe, have vocational programs in their schooling. I know my son took a jewelry design course, which was hands-on at Bucks County Community College. I know they have a fine woodworking program mm-hmm. at Bucks County Community College. Even if it isn't for you when you're really young, you can always go back and learn, you know, something, sure. You know, and then having a good resource like me or somebody in the trades to give you some kind of mentoring. If somebody were to call me and say, Hans, I have a problem. I'm not sure how to figure it out. If I can't figure it out over the phone, well, when are you going to be around? I'll see what I can do. I mean, yeah. It's hands helping hands, you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
for sure.
So that's it, right. Does take a village in a lot of respects.
It does really. I mean, the work that, you know, any construction project has many partners and many, you know,
right.
Any renovation project.
A ton of facets.
Yeah, there's a lot of folks. Two questions I wanted to sort of get in. What do you think about, I mean, I know you made your way to Philadelphia, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so
by marriage.
So
anyway, so let's see, well, you know how that worked.
Yeah. Anyway, came to Philly and now have your STEM guild in Germantown. Mm-hmm. So you're, you know, in and out of the city all the time. Mm-hmm. What do you think about this sort of extended culture and community here in terms of creativity and trades and, you know, do you plug into things outside of Stenton Guild or are you just too busy?
I'm busy, but, you know, I'm always up for seeing new things, meeting new people.
Right.
Everybody, as far as I'm concerned, has something that they're good at. You know, as far as creativity, I deal with so many creative minds that it's like second nature anymore. The city of Philadelphia, just a very creative city. It's just so diverse as far as the arts are concerned. It's tough for me to say, but, you know, I mean, I'd rather be in Philadelphia than I probably would be anywhere else other than in the mountains, you know, hiking in nature and stuff like that. But even that gets old sometimes. So, and lonely and boring.
Yeah.
So I
think the Philadelphia is one of the things that is unique about it is that it's still a relatively affordable place to live.
Absolutely.
And be a creative. And so mm-hmm. with that comes cheaper studio space and places to live. Right. And, you know, that's changing year after year. That's changing. But I do think that we have, as part of our sort of DNA, whether it's our grit from being a more working class city to the industrial history of our city, right?
The
world's workshop, you know?
Right, exactly. Whether it's textiles or whether it's the state of Pennsylvania has a lot more manufacturing mm-hmm. than you would think and a lot more craftsmen than you would think. And Philadelphia is, you couldn't do what I couldn't do, what I could do on Manhattan. The city of Philadelphia does afford, you know, obviously you still have to afford housing, clothes, this, that, and the other thing, but it is cheaper. I think a lot of people are realizing that. And there's a lot of artists who are coming to this city just because of that.
Yeah.
Because it is it's still very cosmopolitan. You still get a lot of different, whether it's food, whether it's art, it's there in abundance. It's nightlife, true. You name it.
So we talked about it a little bit, but mm-hmm. the last question, it was like, talk about some of your projects.
Right now, I am on a very interesting project, and that is I'm making a solid cherry queen size bed for a good customer of mine. I'm working through a designer, and designer brought me a picture and said, oh, I can make that, but let's add our own flair to it. I wouldn't make it exactly like that because exactly like that looks like IKEA. For lack of a better word, it's like you can get this bed for $1,000 and have no problem setting it up and everything else. But if you want something that's one of a kind, and that's what they wanted, they have already built bookcases and other pieces of furniture in their house. No, we want you to do it. And, you know, that makes me feel good. And then, you know, after that, there's always cabinetry. I mean, I have a designer who constantly throws me cabinetry. I like building the furniture. Cabinetry is just basically a box with a fancy lid.
Oh, yeah. What's the subject you can talk about at any, like, never get tired?
I love baseball. Sometimes I get tired of talking at work. You know, it's just sometimes you just get overloaded. It's like you're at a party or something like that. You get pulled aside by the host or whatever, and, you know, it'll be like, Hans, what do you think of that stain? Is that water coming through there? It's like, I don't know. It looks like it. But we're having a good time here. Why do I want to talk about me? Are we talking about your business? No. Why do I want to talk about my business? I'd rather talk about baseball or making beer or cooking or any of these other things, you know, that pique my interest as much as woodworking does. I mean, that's my main focus. But, you know, you got to have a life outside of your life, you know.
Well, thank you so much for the conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Quite welcome. It was really great. And you can find more information about Hans and his company and how to get in touch with him, I think.
Yeah, on our website.
The
phone's always on. You can always text me.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I don't turn away work. If there's something that I can't do, I certainly have a big enough reference sources where probably get you in the right direction. You know, you need something done that's beyond my capabilities anyway.
Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss a thing. And you can find more information on www.designphiladelphia.org. And we're on Instagram at @designphilly. So until next time.